Sirius pushed his roughly aside and strode around the table towards Snape, whipping his out as he went. Snape whipped out his own.
All right. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love
amazing.
It.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back, Thirst Buckets. Hello.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Bim. How are you?
I'm great. It's a quarantine. There's a lockdown, or maybe there isn't. I feel like it's a fever dream that we all had collectively, and we're slowly waking up out of it. It's very Midsummer Night's Dream. But, you know, I'm here. I'm upright. I've been cooking a lot. And hopefully once the world opens again, I can cook a lot less and eat meals that were not made by my own hands once again.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel like we came out of the fever dream of the quarantine lockdown. We're actually still a little bit in it. And then I woke up and like my foot was amputated as the world is burning and we're having this revolution going on. And,
yes,
you know,
that too.
So there's still a lot happening. I still feel a little bedridden right now.
Yeah, I feel like we can have a little uprising as a treat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Post-quarantine.
But, you know, in the midst of all this, all of our sickness analogies, we've got a little bit of medicine.
Amazing. Know? That was the most
like
tenuous
that, right?
Fucking link in the world. And I'm so proud of you for doing that. I'm equally ashamed as I am proud. Amazing.
We've
fantastic.
Got a big old heap of sugar. To get this medicine down.
Get out.
That doesn't work. No.
Okay. No, that
was
trash. You took it too far.
We've got a special guest with us in our virtual studio today. Bim, who do we have in the house?
Nicole, it is my honor, my privilege, and indeed my pleasure to tell you that the person that we have today is none other than Mr. Jason Mantzoukas. Go wild, go crazy. Woohoo!
Thank you, guys. I'm thrilled to be here.
You sound it.
Come on, here we are. All our Zoom windows are us in our homes where this is the podcasting and how we're doing it now. And it is very strange time. For myriad reasons. A very sad, scary, strange time. So it is, I will say, delightful to be locked away in my closet chatting with you two today. So a highlight of an otherwise very a dark and unsettling day.
Amazing.
Thank you.
That's always my aim, is to be a highlight on an unsettling day. So, Jason, I know that this is, like you said, a sort of a difficult time. What have you been doing in quarantine to make yourself feel like a human being?
You know, I'm starting to get worried that I'm not doing enough to make myself feel like a human being. I feel like I'm slipping into like automated life. I feel like I'm slipping into like paring away anything that gives me like joy or happiness and just focusing on like head down, get through the days, boom, boom. It feels very sadly joyless because it is. You know, I live in Los Angeles. You know, we've been stay at home now. It's loosened a little bit, but I frankly don't know that it's smart that it's as loose as it is right now. And so, you know, I've been, you know, sheltering at home for some, I don't know, since the first week of March. And it feels insane. I'm like just kind of wandering my house and that's about it. I'm like, you know, I'm desperate, as you guys were saying at the beginning, I'm desperate to like go sit in a restaurant with my friends and just have a lovely dinner and a bottle of wine and like catch up. I'm finding myself craving like the intimacy of my friends, you know, or the people that I love. And that is the thing that is, I will say, the hardest for me during all this is just feeling very detached and adrift from humanity.
Yeah.
Cool start to the podcast, guys. Am I doing it right?
Spot on.
Yes, that's perfect.
I'm concerned that my appearance on podcasts as the quarantine goes on is just going to get darker and darker in my represent. Like, there's going to be a timeline of like, oh wow, early on really cheery and chipper, but as it get like the Thirst Aid Kit is really the breaking point. After that, Jason Manzoukas on podcast is just openly weeping for hours, rending his clothes.
Are you a pet person? I'm sure you have to travel a lot normally.
Yeah. I had a dog for a number of years, and then she died. I mean, she died probably 6 years ago. And then, kind of to your point, I started traveling a lot more for work, and it started to feel a lot more difficult to maintain having a dog because it would either require like boarding that dog all the time or, you know, having, it just felt like it would be contributing to a more chaotic life for the dog. Right now though, yeah, I wish I did. And have now, you know, I know a lot of people are fostering dogs right now. And for a while they were saying a lot of shelters are empty, which is wonderful. But I have thought about doing that now, kind of assuming, I think I can presume right now going forward, it's still going to be a while until there's such a time where I'm traveling to the degree that I was. You know, I don't think we're going to jump straight back into touring the podcast that I do, or I don't think I'm going to, I spent 3 months in London on a job last fall. Like, I don't think I'm going to be jumping around a lot more. So why not?
Mm. Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. Like, I might as well get a dog. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, and to be selfish about it, you know, it would, I genuinely believe, I think it would be, it would very much improve my mood. And to be, you know, and hopefully, like, to get a dog out of a shelter would be wonderful, you know? So, exactly. You know, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Let's do it, Bam. Let's do it.
Let's get dogs.
Let's get a dog together. It. Are we getting?
Let's get a dog. Let's have a bi-coastal dog.
Are we going to share a dog? Yes. I mean, it's the beginning. I know it's the beginning of the podcast, but I'll do it.
Let's jump in. Both feet. We're getting dogs. That's it. Nicole, feel free to join in. Bring your cat.
I adopted a cat in the middle of all of this.
Oh, nice.
She's over here in the corner watching me.
Like the creepy boyfriend she is.
But she really has, like, saved me, because I don't know what would have happened in the last, like, month and a half if I did not have this other heartbeat with me in my apartment. So, yes, y'all adopt a dog together.
And I love it.
You know, Jason, when you're traveling, you could just drop it off in New York for Bim to take care of.
Yes, and when I go see family in London, I'll drop it in LA. This is a completely unstressful life with such a dog, so I'm really excited to do this.
I am too. I think this is going to be a home run. I don't, you know.
I foresee no problems.
This is first meeting, but I'm certain we will be able to co-parent together, I don't know, without any problems.
Precisely. I like that you see the vision so clearly, because I do too.
I like taking big leaps.
This is it. The biggest leap of all.
Jump right in.
Can you
in.
Imagine the story? Just to be, oh, who's this? Oh, this is my dog. I was on a podcast and I just adopted a dog with one of the hosts.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's great.
It's pretty weird, but you know, it works. We make it work.
That's the thing that everyone says. We make it work.
It's hard work.
We know it's not conventional.
It's hard work, but I wouldn't want to raise this dog with anybody else.
There it is.
The platitude down to its science. Amazing. This is Rex. Say hi, Rex.
Wait, Rex? Okay, first of
Rex
all.
Rex is a good name for a dog.
Say Rex again. Yes, see, that's perfect. Listen to how you say it.
Exactly. That's a dog's name.
It's almost, Rex, but it's, the dog. It's too much of a dog. Rex. Come on, Rex.
Okay, well, what else?
Although
then,
we
James?
Do, we do get to play like we do. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of ways to play around with Rex. I don't mind it. Okay, I'm on board now.
Thank you so much. You see, these are the parenting instincts that we're going to need to co-parent this dog.
You know, here's the thing, Bim. We just gave a textbook example to your listeners about compromise, right?
I love it.
About communication, the tools, open communication, compromise, and a willingness to listen. That's it. That's a successful podcast host, podcast guest relationship.
Okay, so we've mentioned your expertise in podcasting already. Can you talk to us a little bit about, not necessarily how you get into podcasting, but your ritual when you are about to get on the mic? Do you have anything that you normally do to prepare yourself? What's your podcasting routine?
No, you know, not really. It is, I will say I'm very lucky in that. So I'm one of the co-hosts of How Did This Get Made, a podcast that talks about bad movies. And I host it with Paul Scheer and June Diane Raphael. And it's usually the three of us plus a guest. We've watched a bad movie. The idea behind it is we've watched a bad movie, and that bad movie can be anything from like The Room or Birdemic or like really bad kind of culty movies to... We do all the Fast and Furious movies and The Meg and fun stuff like that. And so we have a guest on and we will talk about that stuff. And what I'm very lucky we'll do it live. We do it in the studio. And for the most part, this is just me and friends. You know, Paul and June, I've known for almost 20 years now. Most of the guests are people like Adam Scott or Nick Kroll or, you know, Chelsea Peretti or all these people who are similarly our peer group and our friends. And so I'll say there is no real preparation other than a willingness to like and an excitement genuinely to get on stage or to get into the studio with friends of mine, because I know that what the show is really is a conversation amongst friends. And that's what I think people like about the show. And that's what I like about doing the show. Like, I will say one of the things I'm missing the most in quarantine is performing. I'm myself an enormous podcast fan. And so I get excited to go on other podcasts to talk to people who are themselves excited about the stuff they're talking about. And when I was told that your episode was excited about me, I was like, well, I'm also very into me. So I'd love to go on this podcast where I was told every episode of your podcast was about me. And that was, turns out, not true.
No. Go back and listen again. They're all about you. Don't worry. Some of them are coded, but they're all about you.
Yeah. So I was told that you guys had done an episode where you talked about me. So, you know, every night before bed, I listen to that section of that episode and listen to your voices as I drift off to sleep. Talking about me and my wiry beard.
Oh, God, stop. It's remarkable because when you're recording these episodes, Nicole and I are kind of in our own world. We know what we're there to talk about. And it sounds weird to say, but I never, ever imagine the person that we're talking about ever hearing it, like ever.
Yeah.
And so it's incredibly odd to be speaking to you about you, and we're going to have more questions, but it's like once we had the confirmation that you were going to be on, I kind of had like a very mild stroke.
Sure.
And I thought, oh,
which must have been very difficult during this time because it's scary to go to the hospital. So you
imagine my distress.
Yes, I guess I'll just, you know, suck it up and have this minor stroke.
This is it. It was a fraught weekend, and finally the feeling came back, and I thought, fine, now we can record. So here I am.
Thank God.
No longer. I know, the left side of my body is active yet again, but I'm always kind of like in a place of just kind of like, oh shit, now they have to like...
Oh, and I get it. I get it from, you know, a slightly different perspective, but, you know, we talk on our podcast about movies, you know, so we're talking about actors or directors or we're talking about whatever, all the stuff, you know, and then but... I'm also an actor and a writer, and I work in this business. So there are times when I was in a meeting once, and when I was sitting on the couch, you know, kind of looking around at the beginning of the meeting, I noticed that all of the books on a shelf were all of the books by the author Joe Nesbo, which is like a series of crime books that I think are from like Sweden. I can't remember.
Yes,
like,
they are. Scandi crime.
One of those Scandinavian crime series, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, hang on. I know we did one of those on the podcast. And I just kind of clocked it. And I was like, okay, I don't care. And then we kind of kept going. And in the middle of the meeting, talk turned to podcasts in general and how what a surprising, you know, big part of societal pop culture is now podcasts, and everybody's sharing podcasts the way they used to share TV or movie recommendations and blah, 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 and this or that. And somebody asked if I had a podcast. I said I did, and I started to describe it. And the woman who I was having the meeting with said, oh, I feel like I've heard that podcast before. And I was like, here we go. And then I was like, oh, yes. We did an episode on the movie The Snowman, which you have on your bookshelf over there. And she was like, and you could see it wash across her face because she was like, oh, I did listen to that episode of that podcast. And I was like, oh, no. And it was really, it led to a very funny conversation. But I was for a moment like, oh, right. We talk about this stuff. Obviously, we talk about this stuff, and knowing full well, because we ourselves, we've been in bad movies. We know what's up. We're not trying to tear anything down. We're trying to like celebrate things that have gone awry or things that aren't working. But but that was a moment where I was like, oh, okay, here we go.
If it isn't the consequences of my own actions.
Exactly. But you know, and it really was a funny, not icebreaker, but it was like a funny moment in that meeting of sharing this kind of shared experience.
Well, to go back to your wiry beard that you listened to us wax poetic about.
Oh, you guys missed it. It was so big last week. I trimmed it last week because I hadn't cut it at all, and it was like here. It was enormous.
Like it looked like some Duck Dynasty shit. Like,
yeah, that's good. Yeah, total Duck Dynasty. Yeah. Total Duck Dynasty, which was, and I had to trim it because I started to, because it was so Duck Dynasty, I started to have like right-wing views as a result. I think the beard, the beard was somehow informing me politically? I don't know.
Oh my God. This is the beginning of a movie.
It is. It is. It's called The Conservative Beard.
Oh my God, amazing. Oh, so,
okay, a lot of people like that wild beard and, you know, obviously consider you what we call a thirst object. And we want to know, like, how does that make you feel that people are out there like, I'm going to risk it all for Adrian Pimento. I'm going to risk it all for Derek. You know, how does that make you feel?
You know, it's a funny thing to be objectified in that way, in a way that is, without a doubt, an enormous compliment. You know, of course, I want people to thirst after me, I guess. That is, okay, so let me start by saying I am not a social media person. I don't have any social media. And so even the concept of thirsting or a thirst trap had to be explained to me, like, fairly recently. I mean, not
bless your heart.
Within the last year, someone had to explain to me what a thirst trap was. And then I understood what was going on. So you know, it's a funny thing. It's really strange. So I'm not dialed into that kind of conversation that happens online. I'm only made aware of it when it pierces through. And so like a couple of years ago, somebody wrote an article that was basically like the thesis of which was three women basically trying to convince either each other or themselves that I'm hot or that I'm sexy. I can't remember what it was, but it was like the tenor of it was, hear me out, guys. I know this sounds crazy, but I think that Jason Mantzoukas might be hot? Question mark? Which is like, Which is yes, a compliment, but also an insult. It's yes. Also like, if I ever see it, like if it ever gets through to me, it will be somebody saying some version of, what's wrong with me? I think I'm attracted to Jason Mantzoukas. Which is like, hang on. I would like to think nothing's wrong with you. Why do you have to be, why do you have to presume that you are a broken person to find me attractive?
Well, you know, I think part of that is because of the characters that you play. They are right. So, like, out there and wild.
How dare you, know? Nicole? How dare you?
But, you know, it's hard for women, or, you know, at least from what our experience, to admit being attracted to someone who, you know, has had a lot of experience being homeless and transient and sure. Like on drugs.
But here's the thing. Those are the characters. Those are characters I play. This isn't like, hey, hear me out. Call me crazy, but I think that Rafi from the League is hot. That would be insane. That would be an insane thing to say. Rafi from the League.
I know people who do fancy Rafi. So you know,
please
what?
Give them my number. Just kidding. Do that. But if they're saying it about me, the person. They're saying I think Jason Mantzoukas is hot, and it's like I would like an exclamation point at the end of that sentence, not some sort of shame question mark. Talk me out of this, please.
Talk like you're some an expensive sense. Sweater.
Talk some yeah. sense into me. Something must be wrong.
No, wait. I'm not saying I've done this. I'm saying I understand why people do it. Because no, you I may know. Recall, as you listen to our podcast, which again, I could not bring myself to listen to again, knowing we were going to speak to you, because I thought, oh God, I probably said some truly disrespectful things. And I want you to know I respect you as an actor
filthy.
And as a person.
It was filthy.
I'm so sorry. But the thing is, like, there are times, like, I don't have Twitter at the moment, but there was a time when maybe every week I would tweet about whatever I was thinking of, whatever I was tweeting about. And then just as an endpoint, I would just put in brackets, God, today I remembered Adrian Pimento. Oh, mm-hmm. And I just laughed for 10 minutes. And at the end of that 10 minutes, I just thought to myself, God, I fancy him so much.
I shouldn't have come here. This was a mistake. I'm not ready. I knew I wasn't ready to go back to being police. It's the only job I've ever had, except for bagging groceries at the supermarket at the corner of Atlantic and Clinton. I guess I could go back to that again. Paper or plastic? Yeah, still got it.
And it wasn't Adrian I was talking about. It was clearly you. But my point is, every time I did that, people on Twitter would be like, oh my God, same. Yes. Oh my God, me too. Oh my God. So it's kind of like, there was like a whole bunch of stuff. And you know, you mentioned like shame a little bit. I promise you, once we did the episode, the inbox, the Twitter, the Tumblr,
exploded.
People saying what they wanted to do to you or with you or even near you. And it was just kind of like, I don't know if that's legal, friend, but okay. There was a lot of conversation, a lot of it filthy stuff about your beard in particular.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Oh, so just something to put in your back pocket, like you're walking around. Just remember in your, whenever you're just like wandering the halls of
like
your
I
home.
Sounds like I should put it in my front pocket.
Wherever's comfy.
I mean, I should put it in somebody's front pocket. I'm not sure. I don't know what kind of show you guys are running here.
I think there was a moment on The League where Rafi comes out of the pool and it goes into slow-mo. I may have it confused with something else, but you come
oh,
out of the pool.
Oh, no,
and it's
I know what
slow-mo.
You're talking about. It is not.
Yeah. I've seen the GIF.
It's not The League. Yeah, it's not The League. It's an episode. You know what it is? It's from an episode of Kroll Show on Comedy Central where the sketch is called Gigolo House, where we're all male gigolos living in a house together.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm coming out of a pool is from the opening.
Yes. The promo. Yes.
I think the opening credits, the title sequence of that.
Yes.
I think that's what that is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I bring that up, that slow-mo moment, because I want to know, do you want to have more like slow motion, hot, you know, shots of yourself so that we can see more
Here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. You know, I'm constantly play. I get cast, as you mentioned, a lot to play, you know, maniacs and crazy people and, you know, loose cannons and, you know, whatever kind of descriptor you want to use. Wild card is used a lot. Gross perverts, monsters, charming, hopefully lovable monsters. But yes, yeah. I mean, to your question, I would like to be considered to play like the guy that the girl wants to date. You know, like, why can't I be, like, I'm in one of the side stories in, like, the romantic comedy How to Be Single. And I'm just a guy that runs a bookstore and marries Alison Brie in that movie. And to me, I'm like, why can't I do more of that? Like, that's, nobody was, like, up in arms when that happened. Nobody was like, no, that's not, we won't allow that. You know, it's fine. I'd love to. I wish that I was considered more for roles like that, for roles in which I'm not the guy who, sadly, though, I think it is a lot of times I am cast as the guy that's like, well, after she broke up with that guy and decided to go crazy, she dates this guy. Who's the worst, you know?
I will say, after I saw Sleeping With Other People, I did think to myself, God, that seems like a really lovely marriage, those two characters.
Yeah, like, that was a good, I love that. It's Leslie Headland's movie, Sleeping With Other People, yes. Who also did Russian Doll and, yes. So many other great things. She's wonderful. And those scenes. So Andrea Savage and I play a man who does the show, I'm Sorry, on True TV, play the kind of, Sleeping With Other People, Headland always used to describe it as When Harry Met Sally for Assholes. and the main couple in it, it's When Harry Met Sally. So the main couple, the primary couple you're following are Sudeikis, who you guys also talked about in the episode of your show where you thirsted over me.
It sounds like we should have just dedicated a whole episode.
Why
are you sharing an episode?
I'm glad I came second. I'm glad I was the headliner. I'm glad that, you know, in the episode, Sudeikis, you guys opened with Sudeikis.
Sure.
But so it's he and Alison Brie are the kind of the main couple you're following. And then Andrea Savage and I are the kind of Carrie Fisher and Bruno Kirby in When Harry Met Sally, the married couple that are their friends who they kind of go to for advice and stuff. And we, you know, I've known Headland for years. I've known Andrea Savage for years. So it really was a very comfortable, and Sudeikis and Brie, and it's another one of these things where, because I'm doing it with friends and because there's so much of an ease with everybody, especially Savage and I did a lot of improvising, did a lot of like really fun, weird, long takes, like that end credit scene.
I love the end credit scene.
We literally just set up real quick on the street and just improvised.
I'd be shocked if they made it at all. I bet this sex thing is a ruse.
For what?
They're having trouble. Cold feet, second thoughts.
Second thoughts? They literally just got back together.
I know, but now they have to have this whole sex thing. I don't know.
First of all, we had sex at the last minute right before we got married.
I don't think that's true.
Really? You don't remember someone sneaking into my room right before?
Ooh. Ooh, I'll murder him.
I really loved it. I also really like that they were sort of like the lived-in experience of the main couple. Like, once they settle down, this could be a sort of vision of their future. I really loved, like you said, the crackle. It made me smile a lot, kind of like every so often, you know, your character would say something and, you know, Andrea's character would kind of say something like, that's not true. And you could see just like a little bit of just kind of like, this couple has been together forever. And you can just see, just kind of like, what? And I really loved that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And I love that too. And I get so many, that's one of the things that I do get a lot of lovely feedback about, because people, I think that oftentimes in those movies, the married couple represent like the misery of marriage. You know, they are used to juxtapose to the single people the pitfalls or the dangers or the cautionary tale, the married friends who hate their spouse, the, you know, blah blah blah. That's like the kind of, that's the trope that normally exists. And I think what was great about sleeping with other people is that Hedlund really wanted to have a happily, if if overwhelmed and harried, married couple. You know, people who've who've been with each other and still want to be with each other, but are but have two kids and are overwhelmed, and it's a lot, you know. And so, so that I feel like representing like a successful long-term marriage, complete with its problems and bickering and stuff like that, was really fun to try and realize while still also being obviously funny, you know.
Yes. All that to say, if you were to receive a script for a rom-com, you should 100% please leap at it, because not just us, a whole swathe of people would very much like to see that.
Oh, so yes. I'm in. I mean, like I'm so in. I also because like I love romantic comedies. Like those are and I find myself, you know, I find myself in quarantine vacillating between like romantic comedies and also like action movies from my childhood. You know what I mean? Right. Like Aliens and stuff that was like stuff that feels like what was on cable when I was a teenager. You know, somehow feels like, okay, I know what this is. I'm just going to sit back right now. I'm going to watch Total Recall. Everything's going to be fine.
Exactly. Before Arnie became governor, you know, that blissful period.
Yeah. And then I'll be flipping through channels and be like, oh, Love Actually is on? Done. I'm going to watch this. only so I can see my queen, Emma Thompson.
Oh my God. I was hoping you were going to say that scene. That's the best. She just delivers
when
it.
When she opens the Joni Mitchell CD, it is, it's devastating. It's
devastating.
It's devastating.
I could talk about that scene forever. She's amazing.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can talk about how into Emma Thompson I am for the rest of the show. I am, here's the pull quote, I am horny for Nanny McPhee.
There it is.
It's the truth, isn't it?
We always ask the people that we interview on this show when we are talking about, you know, making a romantic movie, you know, if they're going to do what they can, use their clout to make sure that their leading lady is a black woman. Because, you know, we don't often get to see black women in rom-coms as the lead, is the one getting the love. You know, right. Or whatever.
They're the best friend. They're in the loveless marriage.
They're the best friend. Yeah. You know, they're the wise woman of the
sort of sage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we can see some black woman running her fingers through your beard, you know.
Happily.
If she looks like Bim or if she looks like me, that could be, you know. Like,
guys,
that's just
extra.
A bonus.
Guys, all I want is a rom-com with me and Lupita. Like, let's do it.
There you go.
Listen.
Like,
I'm writing it right now. I'm going to log off this interview right now and open up final draft. Let's go. I'm ready.
You know, I think that's doable, right? I mean, why not?
Well, hear me out. So it begins with Lupita hosting a podcast, right?
Great.
And she mentions a dog called Rex.
I'm into
Stop
it.
Stop me. Excellent. Okay, we're already
it's
on board.
It's like Must Love Dogs meets, it's kind of Sleepless in Seattle because we're on separate sides of the country.
Sure.
Right?
Naturally.
So
okay.
We're going to have to meet,
Prospect Park in Brooklyn.
Done.
Sold.
I'll be there.
Listen.
I'll be there.
I'm writing it right now.
Wait, you enter from the Prospect Heights section. I'll enter from Dip Miss and we'll meet in the middle.
This is it. With Rex barking between us. This is, oh my God.
You know what?
Here,
how about this? We'll just both wander Prospect Park shouting, Rex, Rex, until we find each other. And then we'll go and adopt the dog.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes. There it is.
I'm laughing, but I'm already two-thirds of the way through.
I feel like Lupita is no longer in this movie, and it's just you and me, and this is not a movie.
What makes you think that?
God damn it, you've seen through my ruse. Shit, I thought I was being subtle.
Honest question, are we really doing a podcast right now? Or is this all some sort of elaborate ruse
to
get me to sign on
ruse.
To this Rex situation?
This is the point where I bring in Rex. Hey, Rex, buddy, you want to come on in? No, I promise.
To go back to these action movies that you're watching from your childhood, Are these places where you kind of figured out, like, your models of masculinity and, like, who you wanted to, like, be? Like, the kind of man or the kind of actor?
No, not really. I would say, if anything, they serve more as, like, comfort food. You know, mm-hmm. things that I've seen before that I don't have to pay full attention to, that I can kind of have on in the background, you know? I think for me, I identified with or felt a lot more of an affinity to or an interest in the men of my time who were comedians or comedic actors. You know, I didn't look to the... Sylvester Stallone's or the action stars of that era were not three dimensional. They were, you know, those are the kind of Marvel movies of that time. They are just mm-hmm. action. They are just, more often than not, there's no love stories. Like the stuff that I loved, you know, were like I said, like a lot of those rom-coms, like the kind of like that golden era of rom-coms from Nora Ephron and all that, like the movies of that era, were, you know, kind of overlapped perfectly with my growing up and stuff. Or like the screwball comedies, you know, as like a film person, like the screwball comedies, the Preston Sturges movies or His Girl Friday or that kind of rapport, that kind of back and forth, Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, you know, that kind of rat a tat tat. Yeah, it's what I like about Amy Sherman Palladino's shows like Gilmore Girls or Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It's what I mm-hmm. like about, you know, a lot of those. That's the kind of, I think those are more the models that I always wanted to feel like I was part of that. And a little bit of what I'm describing with Andrea Savage in Sleeping With Other People, rather, has that kind of rat-a-tat-tat, back and forth mm-hmm. Banter. Mm-hmm. And that's, if anything, what I found more of a kinship to or more aspirational than action stars or whatever. The overlap, I will say, was as a kid, I was obsessed with the show Moonlighting, which is... Here we go.
We did an episode about this. I was obsessed with it. Oh, my God.
See? I'll tell you. So Moonlighting is a, at the time, in the 80s, is a contemporary screwball comedy, right? It's Cybill Shepherd, and it's the role that basically that invents Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis.
Yes. Prior. Oh my God! You know what? Listen. Wow, you're coming on next week and the week after. Yeah. We're just going to talk about Moonlighting forever.
Here's the deal, guys. Did we just start the Moonlighting podcast episode by episode?
Yes. Oh my God.
When we get
yes.
to the Taming of the Shrew episode, what are we going to do?
I don't even know, but I'm going to involve Rex. Don't worry.
I want an entire episode just dedicated to Agnes DePesto.
Yes. Oh,
guys,
Mr. Pesto.
I'm here for Moonlighting.
Oh my God. Love Moonlighting. I say this all the time. Like, I imprinted on Bruce Willis for the longest time. I could not be attracted to someone unless they smirked exactly like Bruce Willis smirked as David Addison.
Yeah.
Like, I was obsessed with David Addison. And I feel like he is, and I've expounded on this theory before, but he is the godfather for so many characters. I feel like without David Addison, there is simply no Nick Miller on New Girl.
Yeah.
It just doesn't mm-hmm. happen. Like, these people are, like, direct descendants of that special kind of character.
Yeah.
David, I think, is just, like, amazing. They did such a job.
Well, it's so interesting because he is, in that show, so, you know, for people who don't know, you know, it's a format that doesn't really exist anymore, which is like, yeah. it's an adult private investigator show, which yeah. when I was growing up, there were just dozens of, you know, Magnum so PI, Hardcastle and McCormick, yes. Charlie's yes. Angels.
Did you ever watch P.S. I Love You?
No, what's that?
It is this tiny, terrible show, and it was set in a detective agency, literally in Malibu, I think.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I feel like five people on Earth watched that show.
What era? What, like, generally, what year would you guess?
Like, mid to late 80s.
Oh, okay. I'll look it up.
And it was on reruns. Yeah, please do.
Oh,
I think
sure.
it has, like, it stars, like, Connie Selica, so you know
okay.
it's high quality.
Sure.
Yeah.
But this was like a real, this was like a real format then, heart to heart.
It definitely was.
You know, like it was like, we're rich and married and we solve mysteries. And then there was Murder, She Wrote, which is very Agatha Christie inspired. Like, I'm an old lady in Maine and I'm solving mysteries. Magnum P.I., I'm a Vietnam veteran in Hawaii and I'm solving mysteries. Riptide, we are Vietnam veterans.
Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Scarecrow and Mrs. King. Yeah. Hardcastle and McCormick. Yeah. Jake and the Fat Man. These are all.
Jake and the Fat Man. Oh,
the A-Team. The Equalizer. Like, these are real shows. There were so many.
So good.
And so that kind of will they, won't they, that kind of charismatic Bruce Willis in the show is the wry, you know, quippy, kind of sarcastic, ironic, leading man detective. Mm-hmm. Like the classic Philip Marlowe kind of Sam Spade.
Yes, the gumshoe, right?
Yeah, the classic noir style private investigator. And but the actress who's the owner of the private investigation agency loses all her money. It's Sybil Shepherd.
Yes.
She comes in to take ownership and they butt heads. Guys, classic screwball comedy. If you want to watch, I'm talking watch Adam's Rib or Woman of the Year or His Girl Friday if you want to see what these, or Philadelphia Story or Bringing Up Baby. Like, Cary Grant fits this archetype very well as well. Someone who has a light enough touch to be able to pull off the comedy, but is undeniably, and this is something that I find a lot now in conversation, is undeniably a capable man.
Yes, a man of action.
Versus what I think we have a lot of now, or what we think about a lot now, is men, their attractiveness is almost based on how boyish they are. Like, a lot of our American leading men are actually boyish in their attitudes. They're not like, they don't seem to be, which is why I feel like when we need men, we go to Australia and England to import... to import, like, capable men. It's like, if there's a man at the front of something, it's like, all right, I guess we got to call, you know, Chris Hemsworth or Tom Hardy or all the British guys, basic Idris Elba. These are like the men of now.
Yes.
Like, there are so few, like, American men who don't feel like they're young boys. And that's the thing about David Addison. Yeah. That's the thing about about him in that moment. Bruce Willis goes from being like this quippy kind of PI to doing Die Hard, which solidifies him as a wisecracking action star. And that, to me, very interesting, you know?
Yes.
Die Hard is, you know, kind of an amazing movie in that way, because it functions well as an action movie. It also functions as a comedy, because he's very good at that. The same way that Beverly Hills Cop does that as well, very well.
Yes. Come on, Axel.
You know, there's a bunch of movies from that era where the action has stakes and feels real. There is real, you know, people die. There are consequences to people's actions. But these lead characters, these leading men, are still able to have a light enough touch to make them seem vulnerable, to make them seem they're not just killing machines. They're not you know?
It's not James Bond, is it?
Yeah,
it's a different thing.
It's not James Bond. Yeah. It's not the Terminator. It's not, you know, the kind of nonsensical, just kind of, you know, action of the other kind of movies. Like, that, when you get Bruce Willis in there, I don't know. It's much more fun. But Moonlighting, I'm on board for our Moonlighting podcast.
Sold.
Yes. Okay, very quickly, when we talk about Big Mouth and your character on Big Mouth, Jay Bilzerian.
Sure.
Who, you know, he
the worst best boy.
Right. He's so sweet but awful, which seems to be a theme for you.
Somehow this is the niche that I have found, that I've apparently carved.
But I wanted to know, while you've been working on this show, even though you are clearly a grown man, since we've been talking about man and what, you know, all that, I wanted to know if there's something that working on the show has made you has given you a clearer perspective about in your relationships and the things that you once thought about girls when you were young and women as you got a little older, if it's helped, clear up some confusion for you with some of the possibly antiquated ideas that you once had.
You know, I'm not necessarily, I don't think the show has prompted me to have realizations or epiphanies about what I think now, as much as I think for me, boy, do I wish this show or something like it had existed when I was that age, or even in the years subsequent. I feel like this is information that I wish I'd had or I'd known. I wish I feel like for me, it makes me feel a lot more like, oh boy, it was like Jay or some of these other characters are going through stuff that I went through and that I labored over or worried about anxiously for years and years, and stuff that is just, doesn't matter. It really isn't I wish, if anything, I just wish I could tell my younger self to watch this show so that I can relax a little bit more as a kid, I'm trying to think if... Oh, you know what I didn't know that the show taught me? I didn't know about periods. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, okay, so you were also... You've done 2 episodes of Nailed It, the holiday editions.
I did, right? Yes.
Can you cook? Can you bake?
I can't. No, I can't. I just... this is a good example. This is just an example of one of the things that I'm very grateful for, which is simply by being a fan, a vocal fan, they invited me to be a guest judge on the show. And so now I've been on twice, and it's a blast. It is a blast. It's such a fun set. It's such a good group. They have, from Nicole and Jacques, who is the kind of the expert baker judge.
Yeah.
They have such an amazing dynamic. The whole crew is very, their camaraderie is amazing. It's a very chill, easy set to be on.
Yeah. So what's up with Wes though? I mean, he's a little too Nordic for my taste, but he seems to be,
he's the hunk of the show.
Right. Yeah.
Wes, if I'm not on, I think Wes becomes the hunk of the show,
Of course.
I think when I am on, there's a lot of people who are like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe I've been concussed, but Jason Mantzoukas kind of looks like a snack on this show.
That was an excellent use of the word snack, by the way. Thank Good
you.
Job.
Thank you. When was he going to get off so I can definitively say I'm hot for Wes? Because he is a traditional view of masculine beauty.
This is like a joke that's not a joke. I feel like you've heard this too many times, and it really has done a little, a part of it has gone in, and you're like, I just imagine you in front of a mirror just like, am I hot? And you know what, Jason, we're here to tell you definitively, yes you
no,
are.
No, when I look in the mirror, I'm like, they see you for the fraud that you are. No. You're disgusting.
What do you use?
This is that Rorschach thing of just kind of like Pagliacci. But doctor, I am Pagliacci.
There's hummus in your beard. What's wrong with you?
What do you use? Do you use mixed chicks in your hair?
It's so funny. You guys said mixed chicks in the podcast, and I have used mixed chicks before.
Of course you have.
It's so I don't anymore, but I would say as of 3 years ago, I was using mixed chicks every day.
Wow.
When you said that on the podcast, I laughed out loud. I was like, oh, these women really do know me. I feel seen.
Amazing.
I can, as you also mentioned in your episode previously, that again, I listened to you both talk about me for, I don't know, 25 minutes. I listened to you talk about my body. I listened to
you
talk about my hair. I listened to
you
talk about what you'd like to do to me.
No, stop. Oh, God.
I heard all of your innermost thoughts is basically what I'm saying. Anyway,
I'm so sorry.
Like, I'm not up at night. As much as, Bim, you might want me to be, I'm not up at night in tidy whities doing Tai Chi.
I've melted out of embarrassment. I am so sorry. I promise you, at no point did I think, oh, one day Jason's going to listen to this and we're going to talk about it. I am so sorry.
I think a small part did.
No, not even the most microscopic part. Every part of me was kind of like, it's fine. Jason's not going to listen to this. He's a very busy person. He has lots of shit to do. He has podcasts and whatnot. And then only
But then you guys invited me to do the podcast.
Yeah, but it was kind of like, you know, he's too busy.
If they send me an email that says you've been invited to be on this podcast, here's a link to the episode where they talk about you on this podcast. Before I agree to the podcast, because maybe I have to listen to it, because maybe you guys spend the whole time trashing me. I don't know.
No,
maybe this was an elaborate setup for a prank of
never
some
that.
Sort.
No,
turns out not a prank at all.
No, just an embarrassment.
Very lovely, wonderful things you said about me and my body and how it moves and how it makes you feel.
Shut up.
When I'm
Shut up.
Hopscotching
no,
on Brooklyn
no,
Nine-Nine.
Stop! Oh my God! That's my favorite scene. I'm so sorry.
Jason. We're gonna add a little bit to
sure.
how hot you are by talking about the fact that you play drums, right?
I do. I mean,
oh,
a
shit,
little
you do?
A little less so Bim. Now.
Let me yes. log off. I'm so sorry. I fucked all the way up drums. No, sorry. Sorry, I'm a professional. Sorry, carry on. Sorry.
That rhythm.
I know, oh my God. Shut up. Oh. Get the fuck out, Nicole. Stop this. This is too much.
Wait.
You can't tell, but I'm blushing. Stop.
Bim, are you trying to tell Nicole to log off so it's just
No, God, no, that's not. No, that's not what I know.
Don't disturb this groove.
You know what, Nicole? Shut the fuck up. No,
listen,
stop this.
How do you put a sock on the Zoom room door?
No, oh my God.
How do we... Can we take this to private? How does this work?
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Exactly.
Okay. I think everyone's had enough closet time today. Okay. That's enough. Thanks, everybody.
Oh my gosh. But Jason, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you guys so much for having me. What a delight.
It really, really was. Can you, for the sake of internet clarity, where can we find you and your work?
I'm not on any social media. So if you
Very
want
smart.
To keep up with what I'm doing, I would say, you know, the How Did This Get Made podcast that I've been talking about quite a bit here is available on all your podcast platforms. There is a Twitter and an Instagram for the podcast itself. I think it's at HTDGM. How Did This Get Made? Yeah, HDTGM. Jesus. So that will alert you to upcoming episodes, upcoming live shows, once hopefully things open up and start to resume again. It tells you when new episodes are coming out. If you want to keep up with any of that kind of stuff, it'll also, like a lot of times, the podcast will, I suspect when this episode drops, the How Did This Get Made Twitter will also mention it. You know, that kind of, if there is any bit of promotion for the stuff that I do, that's kind of where it lives. Oftentimes, I don't engage in any of that other stuff. So really, you know, but I'm on, you know, a lot of podcasts. If you have enjoyed this conversation,
excellent.
You know, there's, you can hear me talking to people on podcasts all around, and then, you know, otherwise, you know, you can find me on various of your favorite half-hour comedies in the last few years, popping up for an episode or two.
That's a perfect place to close out. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
Good luck. Stay safe.
You too.
You too.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
Take care.
Bye.
Bim, are you okay?
Nicole, I think it's unlikely that I will ever be okay again, to be honest. I have a lot of... I'm going to try and settle my estate just in case I have a delayed reaction later. But I am overwhelmed.
I can tell. I am just so tickled.
I I can't believe that happened.
I really feel like, you know, maybe I should have given y'all some privacy. Like, I don't, you know.
You know, Nicole, you know, I'm very low-key about a lot of stuff, right?
Yes, yes.
But if you had, in fact, just, like, quietly moonwalked out, a la Nick Miller, I would have been like, all right, cool. Well, let's see what happens. Like, I really was in a headspace of just kind of like, wow, this first date is going amazing. All jokes aside, I cannot believe what a dream of a guest Jason was and how genuinely open to just, like, chatting absolute shit with us, which
he
is
was
the
so
dream.
Game, so much fun, and really engaging, you know? Just yes. It really helped that we were able to see him. We couldn't have him in the studio, obviously, but to be able to see him on Zoom, that was great. And he was just really a pure delight.
Yeah. Turns out Adrian Pimento, he's real, folks. Oh, my God.
You know, because we had this guest, we are not going to have drabbles this week, which is fine. You know, we just experienced a real life drabble, you know, this very, meet cute. We just experienced this meet cute between Bim and Jason. So I feel like that's good enough. That's a good enough drabble right there.
I'll take it. Thanks, universe. Appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about that redacted, though. Yes, it was our first time having somebody else do it. And, you know, we gave Jason a line to say because we know he's a huge fan of the Harry Potter books and like a noted fan of the Harry Potter books. And so that redacted was between two characters from that book series. And we recorded all of that before J.K. Rowling took to Twitter to say some fairly transphobic stuff, and by fairly we mean totally transphobic stuff. And you know, it's a difficult thing to love a product that is from a maker that is invested in seeing a world that sees you as less than.
We are not aligning ourselves with J.K. Rowling's thoughts on trans lives at all. We believe that trans women are women, trans men are men. If you're non-binary, you're non-binary, and we respect that. But, you know, this was, again, we had done this before she let go her latest transphobic stream of thoughts. So, we do not support her. We do not align ourselves with her thoughts on this matter.
We know a lot of our listeners are Harry Potter fans, people who have, you know, Harry Potter tattoos and, you know, people for whom those books really mean a great deal. So we know those fans are dealing with their own sort of, you know, come to Jesus moment about, you know, a creator that feels a certain way about a whole group of people. And it's like a dangerous and damaging feeling. And we just wanted to make it clear that we over here at Thursday Kid affirm all of our listeners, however they identify, whatever they are, whomever they may be, and we just wanted to make that clear. And we hope that much of the liberation work that is going on right now is something that impacts positively on your lives, and it allows people finally to treat you as you ought to be treated, which is as valid human beings.
Hear, hear. Thursday Kid is a Slate production produced by Cher Vincent and us, Nicole Perkins and Bim Adewunmi. Our music is by Tanya Morgan.
You can follow the show on Twitter at ThirstAidKit, and we're on Tumblr at thirstaidkitpodcast.tumblr.com.
The show goes out every Thursday, and there is a dedicated band of listeners who live tweet their listen. Thank you so much. And you can join them by using the hashtag TACPOD, or you can write us an email with all of your feelings to thirstaidkit@slate.com.
If you want to use our Thirst Sommelier service, just send us a short, and we mean no longer than a minute, message. The number is 510-984-4778. That's 5109-THIRST. And non-US Thirst Buckets can send us a very short voice note via email at thirstaidkit@slate.com.
You can find all of our episodes and links to listen at slate.com/podcasts. And if you find yourself wishing you could get even more Thirst Aid Kent every week, well, now you can. All you have to do is become a Slate Plus member. Slate Plus is Slate's membership program. For just $35 for the first year, you'll get a little extra from this show and all other Slate shows. Plus, absolutely no ads. Visit slate.com/thirstaidplus to sign up.
We'll see you next week. And remember to wash your hands and stay thirsty. Bye.
Bye.
Serious. I keep wanting to say Siri-ish. Why? I wonder. That's funny. Put all of these in. Put all the rough takes.
Okay.
Put all the aborted takes in.